This is the Data Privacy Detective, and it's August the 10th, 2018. Midterm elections are coming up, and today to talk to us about the security of data that we share with our state governments and election security, with us today is Trey Grayson. Trey, thanks for joining.
Glad to be here.
Now, Trey, you were elected at the time the youngest youngest person to serve as Secretary of State of a state of the United States. So congratulations on that. That was the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Yes. Yeah, I served two terms as Secretary of State of Kentucky, my home state. Was elected in 03 and then reelected in 07.
Very good. And after that, you've held some interesting positions. For 3 years, you're up at Harvard on their Institute for Politics, and you've been on a nonpartisan, a bipartisan presidential commission on elections, and had quite a variety of experiences dealing with personal data.
Yeah, it's one of the things that I'm really happy about is that I've been out of office now for 7+ years, but I've still been very involved in elections and election databases, voter registration systems, how you voted, things like that are some of the most critical pieces of data that we collect and keep as a country.
Fundamental to democracy.
Yeah.
And today you're with Civic Point, which is a public policy firm, as well as with a law firm of Frost Brown Todd.
Correct. Yeah. And I've actually been doing some election work as well as traditional government relations and law.
Very good. And now, recently, Microsoft issued a very interesting report. It's called From Policy to Practice, Strengthening Cybersecurity in State Governments. And you shared that with me. Thank you for doing that. And states employ over 16 million people, and then they deal with the data of maybe, 330 million people. So states deal with a lot of our information.
Yeah, they really do. It's, why did the bank robber rob the bank? Because that's where the money is. Well, if you're trying to do identity theft or undermine democracy, what do? You go where the data is. Go to the
states. That's where the data is.
Yeah.
So, well, how secure are the personal data held by states?
It's not as secure as it could be. I mean, I think that's a fair statement. Fortunately, states are working to improve that, especially in light of the 2016 presidential election and pretty well-documented efforts by the Russians to meddle with our democracy and meddle with elections. It really was a wake-up call to states and to the country as a whole.
Yeah, and we're not going to talk about fake news and all that issue today, but there were documented efforts actually to get into voter lists and maybe affect elections, and maybe they weren't successful. Sure. That's what we think, but certainly it's a risk.
Yeah, we think they weren't successful. There's three in elections in particular vulnerabilities. One is the voter registration list. You could create chaos on election day if that list weren't accurate or had problems. Not to mention the fact that some of that is sensitive information. You also have the election machines themselves and the vote count. Could you mess with those machines and the security there? And the third is the reporting. So maybe the list is fine and accurate and the voting systems are fine and safe. But if you were to mess with the report, and we all know, we're recording this on a Friday. Tuesday, there were a couple of big elections, a special election in Ohio and a governor's race
very
in Kansas.
Very close votes.
That are very close. And people are watching as results. Where are the results coming in? Are there changes? And, one county in Ohio accidentally didn't report a part of a precinct.
About 600 votes.
Yeah. And in a 1,200 vote race, that's significant. So those are three areas in elections that we're very concerned about making sure that we protect.
And I was struck in the Microsoft report, they said that only 18 states require cybersecurity training of their personnel. What do you make of that?
What is that, about 32 too low? fortunately, I'm sure and I'm confident that more states are doing this, but it ought to be a requirement. I know, at least in the election arena, that many of the Secretary of States and State Boards of Elections are rushing to get those kinds of trainings in place for this year, but then also the challenge, and Microsoft focused on the state level, but in elections where it's usually a split. It's a county or a township or a city role as well, and those are probably even more vulnerable and with less training than at the state level.
Yeah, would you agree? It's usually people that are the weakest link in this whole cybersecurity apparatus.
It is people. At our law firm, we're being trained to make sure that we ourselves don't click on the wrong links and do things that expose our clients to problems that they shouldn't have. When elections, the good thing about our election system, one of the things that makes it so resilient is it's so decentralized. You know, every state runs elections. We don't have a single federal database. We don't have a single federal, you know, mandated voting system. And then it's decentralized from the states to the locals. And that's great. So you could, in fact, we've kind of walled off. If there's ever a problem, we can minimize the loss.
If there is damage, it'd be limited maybe to a county or one state at most.
Yeah, and that's also a deterrent. If you're a bad actor and you want to come in, especially now that we have nation states playing and they can play at a different scale, that may deter them from trying certain things. The downside of that is there's so many entry points. And as you said, the individuals are the weakest link. And, you know, in a small county in Ohio or Kentucky, all it takes is one person who has access maybe to a statewide database to click the wrong link, to answer the phone in the wrong way, and all of a sudden there might be some access.
Now, we have to supply some of our personal data to vote, to get a driver's license, to apply for Medicaid, all sorts of things. But are there some steps that individuals can take if they feel that some of their data really shouldn't be shared beyond government itself? Is there any way to kind of protect that yourself?
So in many states, California was the first. I know Kentucky has this as well. Certain categories of individuals have the ability to keep their voter registration data private. So you will vote absentee, for example, but you would be able to vote in the right candidates, the ones who are on the ballot in your district. But nobody could find out, like no campaigns, for example, or nobody else who might have the ability to go online, for example, and type your name and birth date and find out if you're registered to vote. Nobody else could track you down. So for the first example would be victims of violence. You know, folks who had restraining orders were worried about ex-spouses or boyfriends who
they don't want violent. Somebody finding them.
Don't want somebody finding them because they're protected. And a good and the need for this came when, you know, 15 years ago, we all thought it was a great idea to make it easier for people to look up online, are you registered to vote? And we can't make it too hard. So in Kentucky, for example, first name, last name, birth date, you get the voter registration information. That's public anyway. We just made it a little bit easier. Well, that also, if I'm the ex-boyfriend, I probably know your birth date. And I probably know your legal name. And then, boom, now I have your address. So we created these categories. Some judges, some law enforcement officials, some medical providers, people who are being vulnerable, states by category can let you opt out. You apply, and that way your voter data is kept kept private, but you still get to vote.
Okay, and generally speaking, how do you think the states are doing in protecting personal data?
So they're getting better. You know, again, this Russian, the Russian, even though this was elections, I think it caused us to think across all spectrum of data, across all spectrum of state government. We're getting better at it. You know, there's some good recommendations like this Microsoft report has. If you are a government official and you want to do a better job, what's good today is that there is clear guidance on what you can do. There's an organization called NIST, National Institute of Standards and Technology. It's a government-funded agency, and they're the gold standard in this area, and they have clear recommendations. Congress in the election space appropriated almost $300 million, only the second time Congress has ever given money to the states for elections, and the hope of Congress was that states would use this for cybersecurity, helping the states and the locals navigate and protect that data. Maybe funding some cyber navigators to provide guidance to local officials so they can do this. So we're in a better place than we've ever been, but the adversaries are out there, and there are all kinds of different types of adversaries. But we need a resilient system. We need a system that can deter, because you can probably never make anything safe, completely 100% safe. So having backups, regular backups, doing employee training, things like that, you can put into place so that you can do about as good as you can do given the world in which we live.
Of course, with data privacy, there's always a balance between convenience, or in government's case, transparency and openness, open records, all that sort of thing, and personal privacy.
Right.
And some balance has to be struck. Well, you know, in closing, Trey, do you think we're striking the right balance as a country, state by state, in this? It's trying to achieve the right balance between protecting people's privacy and transparency and openness.
We're definitely getting there. You know, are we there right now? No. But the understanding of the need, the understanding of what to do. But I mean, I think one of the challenges, this costs money. So some of the money we've saved by automating and putting things online or in the internet or even even if it's just sort of not on the public internet, on the private internet, we're going to have to reallocate and bring some of that money back in to make it more secure. At the end of the day, that's, we're still going to be in a better spot. We'll be able to provide better services, but we're going to have to spend a little bit more money on security of all types.
Well, let's see what happens at the midterms. We'll report in, and thanks so much for helping us understand this balance between transparency and privacy and how states are dealing with it. Remember, protecting your personal data begins with you. Signing off today for the Data Privacy Detective.